Hey there, this is Mobile Agent TV, helping agents stay on the cutting edge from coast to coast.
Welcome to Mobile Agent TV. I am Michael Thorne of RE/MAX Little Oak Realty in Langley, BC. And my co-host, as always, is Dave Faulkner from Bridgewater, New Jersey's RE/MAX Preferred Professionals in the Enviro Realty team. Dave, how would you say your experience at In-N-Out Burger, by the way, thanks for the t-shirt, how would you describe your experience?
I thought it was awesome. That was really cool. And it wasn't so much about the burgers. It was the limo ride and the people that were in that limo. Powerful, powerful people. And it was great. That was fun. That was one of the highlights, believe it or not, of our four.
Probably, yeah.
Across from Bruce Johnson and going through that whole thing. Very cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. We apologize for getting on the air late. There was something hooked up with Google. Now, I want to let everyone know that Google Plus made some announcements lately here that Google Plus is going to go away in its current format, but Hangouts will be a priority moving forward, so we are not going to go anywhere. We're going to still be bringing you the show this way as we move forward, so don't fret about that at all. You can broadcast or you can interact with us live on the show using the hashtag MATVLive. You can also get us on Twitter at MobileAgentTV. I know I got a lot of great tweeters on the show today, so I don't have to monitor it as much. If something comes up, they'll definitely let us know, as well as we will turn on the Q&A section. So if you guys have any questions, just put them in the blog that you're watching on right now, and you can ask them. We're bringing you the top 10 takeaways from RE/MAX R4 2015. We've got a great list, and there's going to be a lot of great things. Whether you were there or you weren't able to make it at this year's RE/MAX R4, we're going to go through some of the great takeaways that hopefully will impact your business and maybe a bit of your mindset. One selfish plug here, and I know that Brett's going to help me out. I am speaking on April 9th here locally at the Hard Rock Casino. The Vancouver Real Estate Board's putting on a mini-conference called Keep It on the Download. You can book through the Vancouver Real Estate Board. I'm going to be doing my wrench presentation on social media. So please come out and watch that if you didn't get down to R4. We'd like to introduce today's guests. First of all, I'd like to introduce Corey Vasquez. You can get her on Twitter at CJ Vasquez. Just realized I take my life way too seriously now searching for Twitter mentors who don't. God, family, friends, and the pursuit of pure joy. I felt like I read that 2 weeks ago. Welcome to the show, CJ.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Michael.
And next, Valerie Garcia. You can get her on Twitter at ValerieGarcia1. Her 160 Twitter bio reads, Director of Training at RE/MAX Integra, fun-loving, slightly sarcastic, still think that that's underrated, adores travel tech and photography. Welcome back to the show, Val.
Hey.
And lastly, but not least, Brett Culthorpe. You can get him on Twitter at RE/MAX Jedi. He's the manager of business development at Metro Vancouver Properties, the number one RE/MAX franchise right in the world, as awarded at RE/MAX R4. Congratulations on that. Inman News contributor / ambassador, American-Canadian runner, a wannabe rock star, but retired. Welcome back to the show, Brett.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
So we've got 10 great takeaways, but before I get into that, I know that all five of us participated in this little thing yesterday that kind of got a life of its own, and it's something that Val started. Val, hashtag one at a time. Just talk about how organic social is and sort of your mindset behind it, and then we'll get into counting down our top 10.
I just, you know, the last couple of days I felt like there's been a lot of, like, heaviness in my newsfeed online and just a lot of sort of negative stuff, and I just wanted to do something positive yesterday, so snapped a quick selfie and thought, you know, we're here, all of us, to make the industry better one person at a time, and that was a huge takeaway for me from R4, was just that collectively we can create such good. And it just takes one person at a time. So it just kind of really did take a life of its own yesterday on my newsfeed. Everybody started replying with their own sort of selfie with their finger in the air saying, you know, they're going to be that one that improves the industry one at a time. And my goal is, like, we're at over 200 comments, and my goal is to just kind of keep it going and to eventually create a collage of every single one of those photos that I get, make it into my cover photo. So I hope everybody gets a chance to either tweet out their picture one at a time, hashtag it, or come over to my Facebook account and post one, because I just think it's just fun for us to see that we're all in this together.
Yeah, I totally agree. And when you're out having one-on-one conversations or even presenting, I know for you, Val, it must be this way. For you, Brett, it must be this way. If you can really just get to one person in that class of 15 and prove that, then that builds on the next one and the next one. You're never going to go into a classroom of 15 agents and they all snap and get it right away. It is a slow process, but I think there's a lot of people that are super passionate about this industry and moving it forward, and one at a time seems the right way to go, because I think that's the way it'll be lasting, is one at a time. So let's get into it. Our top 10 takeaways from RE/MAX are four in no particular order, and I thought we'd start out with one that Brett put forward. And Brett, one of your takeaways was the fact that we're living in a global market, but the fact with this, our ability to hyperconnect now, you can really build a referral network, in a very meaningful way. You said, you know, to be able to even help your old college buddies find the right agent by still being in their lives, even though you're not working in that particular marketplace. That was really important, and I definitely see that building a referral network now that I've moved to RE/MAX compared to previous. But talk about that takeaway.
Well, yeah, that's something I tell a lot of our new agents, and actually some of our established agents that are joining us from other companies, that, you know, I think the day of I want to be a realtor for life, we're adjusting it, right? Because it's not just I want to be your realtor for life. I want to be your realtor, your friend's realtors, et cetera. And what I usually tell agents is the goal is that when real estate agent comes up in a dinner party, no matter where it is, that you're the first name that comes to mind, and it's for a good reason, right? We work in a very, obviously, a global market here in Vancouver area. Even being a Kansas City guy, I walked around and met agents from, 20 minutes outside of my hometown. Or I met, people like John Mangus in Ohio that I, have a ton of respect for the way that he runs his brokerage. So whether you're looking for people to interact with it for a professional reason, just for, to stimulate and talk shop, or if you're looking for somebody you can possibly send referrals to, it's not just about your area. I grew up in Olathe, Kansas. Probably not a lot of referrals heading that way worldwide, but I have a network, thanks to things like Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, that expands far outside of that. And so, what happens is I hear from our agents, hey, do you know a great agent in South Beach? Or hey, do you know an agent in Houston? If I was an agent that was there, then I would get that lead, right? And otherwise, what I do is I just say, yeah, talk to this person, talk to that person. So, I think that's one of the best things about RE/MAX is it's hard to find anywhere on the planet that somebody can move to that we don't have an office as an agent. And, real estate's kind of real estate. So, yeah, I definitely come back every year with a handful of referrals that I can't obviously service myself. But if I can do that not being a salesperson currently, what could agents do?
Perfect. Now, CJ, talk about, R4 is such an international flair. We see people walking around with, T-shirts with their flag on the back. We saw all these pink Paris T-shirts. We see, a lot of passion definitely out of South America. It is truly a global company, and the flavor of that is definitely present at an R4.
Yeah, and I think there's two things about that. One is you spend so much time in your own market doing your own thing that even though you know that RE/MAX is a global company, you don't see it. So seeing it is super powerful, and that's another reason to be at a convention like that. But two is you can't help but be excited. When you see a gaggle of Argentina RE/MAX agents in blue shirts, hats, like flair, I mean, you can't, even if you're the oldest, most curmudgeon like Dave, just kidding, Dave. you can't help but be excited by that. It inspires me every time I see it.
Well, and yeah, if I mean, sorry, Brett, just hanging down like with Dave down at an Eye Candy having a beer, and people come up to you and where are you from, and it's never like down the block. It's like from around the world, and to a person, they're all very similar. Everyone's really great people, and that's definitely a takeaway, Dave. The value, and we're going to get into a little bit more about connections, but the value of building a referral network where you can bring everyone from around the world in one place that you can really start to build a relationship with.
And even if you don't directly meet somebody who can service you, you meet somebody who knows somebody who can service you. You know, when we talk about that at the end, you tell the people on Mobile Agent TV, if they're sending something to Western Canada, call you. You may know the agent. Call me. I may know the agent. And when you make those connections, it really is invaluable. And I really, what Brett said is right on.
Well, they LLC, like Denver, sent out the email this week saying that they were going to make those two keynote sessions from Tuesday available for one day only on March 31st. And in my opinion, those were the two best keynotes of the whole week. And so I'm really excited about that. But I shared that on Facebook yesterday, and I had an agent reply and say, I want to watch, but I'm not with RE/MAX. And I said, sounds like a great opportunity to buy a RE/MAX agent lunch and have them, you know, hang out with you that day so you can watch it. And they replied and said, well, I don't even know where to find a RE/MAX agent in my area. And I said, where are you? And she said, Germany. And I said, well, I can hook you up. So I sent her a couple of names, and they already, like, hooked up for lunch on that day to watch it. I mean, that's the power of the brand. That's amazing.
Yeah, I did that. Absolutely. By the way, Melanie is going to be our Twitterer of counting down things. Thanks, Melanie, for sending these out on tweets. So let's move on to number two takeaway. And I think it's something that we all completely agree with. I think it changed the flair of the conference dramatically. Dave, talk about not only were you leading one, but you attended more of these sessions because of the content, agent-led sessions, agent speakers, and the change that brought to this particular R4.
Well, and I've been to a lot of RE/MAX conventions over the years, probably 20 or more. And there were always the panels. And, you know, and thanks to you and Valerie, you guys kind of come up with this idea. Let's put some agents up there to talk for a whole hour and give them some really good content. And, you know, quite frankly, all the past ones that I went to were great, and I got a lot out of it. But these agent ones, where I'm talking to, not that people like Travis Robertson didn't have great stuff to say. He had some phenomenal stuff. And people that weren't agents, you know, with boots on the ground every day, they brought great content and value. But the agent sessions where there was an agent who's doing this day in and day out, who does what we do, it just was such a connection. Those things were extremely well attended. We got great response. I'm still corresponding on a daily basis with probably over 100 people that were in our session. We're sending them all our information, and they're asking us questions. And now I have 100 new contacts of agents, you know, not coaches, nothing. Nothing to say against them, but, you know, boots on the ground agents, and those sessions were phenomenal, and the content was invaluable. So thanks to Valerie and Michael for the idea, and Corey.
Hey, Corey.
Thanks for spearheading that thing and getting it done, because it was just, to me, it changed the course of where these R4s are going, hopefully. Because the synergy, the energy was just unbelievable at this one. It was the first one for me in many years that I came back like it was in the beginning, where I would come back and I couldn't sleep because I just had so many things going through my head. And there was a number of years back where I came back and it was a lot of fun and it was great, but not like this year. This year was unbelievable.
And Brett, you kind of felt the same way too, as well. I mean, you led a session. You're with agents every day, but I think definitely you felt that too, as well.
I did, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm fortunate to know, obviously, all of you guys. I know you pretty well, but, you know, to be able to see, you know, Nathan Dart on a stage talking about what he's doing in his market. David Vanessa's presentation was amazing. I've said for a while that your presentation, the wrench, is probably the best social media presentation I've ever seen. Val killed it as usual. And, you know, if you need a further sign of that, I think I'll just talk about the elephant in the room, that Southern girl down south, Lee Brown, who got on stage and absolutely just blew the doors and walls off on Thursday morning. Standing ovation, you know, cheers. I mean, I had a tear in my eye because I love her to death. And, you know, I think the agents do appreciate it. And like Dave, I'm hearing from agents all over the place. After my chat, and, you know, that's what I like to do, is I like to help agents do more business, and you know, I wasn't there selling anything. The first slide in my presentation said, hey, if you're waiting for a sales pitch, you're not going to get one. But, you know, I definitely felt like it was appreciated. I talked to folks all week about it. So, yeah, thanks again, you know, to RE/MAX to put us on those stages and give us that kind of opportunity, and I think when you look at the crowds that everybody had, you know, they definitely appreciated it, for sure.
Yeah, CJ, as far as any feedback or the, you know, actually the question I want to ask you about this is something, I'll just switch it. I think people are shocked, and I'm not, because of this show the last 2 years, how willingly people that are like the Chris Bikers and the Nathan Darts and Dave and Vanessa Fockwer, who says, I will send you my listing presentation. I think people are shocked at how open agents are in 2015 in the RE/MAX world to just tell them every deep secret, hold nothing back. It's not like I'm going to give you the top five things, and if you sign up for my newsletter, I'll give you the rest of it. Just honestly share exactly what they're doing. I think people are shocked at how open agents are, and just speak to maybe that a little bit about how amazing the RE/MAXers are and their willingness to share.
Yeah, you stole my sentiments, exactly. And I think that's why when you and Valerie first came to us and said, you know, we think this would be a good idea, I guess we didn't hesitate. And kudos to Rebecca Svoma, who works at LLC as well. She took this and ran with it as well. But we thought, you know what, and not even 2015, ever since I've been in this network, I've been amazed at the way you guys will literally share anything about how to make your business successful. And I still believe that that's because all of our RE/MAX agents know that you guys are more powerful as a group than you are individually competing against each other. And so I've sat through sessions in previous conventions where I will watch, you know, an agent speaking on a panel, and I will watch people, and he will literally say, you know, here's how I did it, 1, 2, 3, and it earned me $100,000, you know, extra last year. And people write that down and go home and make it work. But again, that's because our folks in the RE/MAX network are A, the most giving people I've ever met, the most amazingly generous and sincere people I've ever met. But B, you guys know that as a global network, we're only powerful if we do this together. And, you know, occasionally, yeah, you're working in the same markets, but overall, we need to do this together and get to buyers and sellers all together. So, I mean, you guys were amazing. And so, to your point, Michael, feedback from headquarters was that these were fantastic sessions. We'll do them again, no doubt. Again, there's a lot more credibility in the sessions that you guys give because you guys are feet on the ground every single day. So, they were huge for us.
And also, too, I mean, if you didn't catch some, I think there's about five of them. I know Nathan's Dart was recorded and will be released. Chris Spiker's was recorded and will be released. Mine was, too, as well.
Yes.
A couple other ones. So, you know, that content is going to be out there whether you were there or not. There's going to be some content put out there. And I can't thank you enough because one of my takeaways is from an agent that has fundamentally changed my business in the last 2 weeks since I got back from R4. And it's just because the context is a lot more real. Takeaway number three, over to you, Val. Back to basics, but not old school. A little bit, I think you described it, the how over the why. I think when we were talking about what your takeaways were, I think you said, I think we get the why now. And now it's about implementing the how. So talk about the excitement over the basics.
Yeah, I think that was it felt like an overall theme through a lot of the different sessions, whether it was the agent sessions or the speakers or just the tools that were being talked about in the marketplace. It was just, you know, different ways to do the things that we've been saying are never going to go away. Just customer service and listing presentations and time management and belly-to-belly and communication, none of that stuff's ever going to go away. It's always going to be part of our business, but just finding new ways to do that in your own business, I think, has become a really big message at R4. I think you're right. It's not old school. It's not going back, and this is the only way to do it. It's here are a whole bunch of ways to do it, and they're still the basic building blocks. You're just turning them around and maybe doing one in a different color or a different style. But overall, finding a way to fit the basics into your own life. I think that was a huge theme this year, and that for me really said, people get it. People get why. I know why I need to use video. I know why I need to have better communication skills, follow up with my clients. I know why I need to have SEO or websites, etc. And now, you don't need to convince me anymore. Tell me how. Tell me how you can help me with that. Tell me how you're doing it. Tell me how that tool is going to help me. And for me, that's a huge, awesome thing in this industry that we're finally at the point of taking time away from convincing people to try something and actually showing them how to try something. That's really exciting for me. I feel like that's, you know, if that's the overall theme that I come away from at a conference, there's a leaf turning over in this industry, and I'm excited about it.
And I agree. Brett and Dave spoke back-to-back on Monday. Dave, you're talking about listing presentations. Now, your listing presentations evolved. Now, we are, you know, digital listing presentation, but the content, the purpose of the listing presentation hasn't changed in 35 years. It's about demonstrating value, educating, a differentiation, and all that sort of stuff. Your room was absolutely packed, like I knew it would be. Talk about the eagerness for agents to have these fundamental skills that will actually impact their business, like the basics of a listing presentation.
Well, listings, as we know, is like the heart of our business. And so, I mean, right off the bat, I mean, like when the presentation that you and I did, Birthplace of Mobile Agent TV, had the listing in the title and as well as ours. Those three things that we talked about, differentiating yourself, educate the buyer, and provide competency and value, have been in listing presentations forever. It's only, in my opinion, over the last 4 or 5 years that things have changed. Prior to that, everything was the same for years and years and years. You go to a conference and you got one little thing, and wow, there's a little change coming. And change is happening so fast now that you need to kind of keep your eyes open and your ears open. And the content of why you put together your listing presentation is so important. And that's more or less what we talked about, and that and the having a service mindset to serve the public. And that prior to this, you know, big change going on, I don't think it was really talked about a lot. I mean, it was just sort of a given that we're going to provide service. But to me, right now, when we presented our thing, service, we have a service mindset, and those three components we just talked about, if you're not doing those three things, you're sort of missing the boat, and you're going to do a transactional type business. Mm-hmm. It's changing so quickly, and it's just, you know, it's hard to keep up with, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm.
And that dovetails actually into Brett's presentation, which was basically, not basically, it was on time management and the tyranny of the urgent, which is an epidemic in our society and is extremely distracting. I think was one of the things, I think if we hark back to what Darren Hardy said on the last day, it's not what you do, it's what you don't do that will make you successful. And that really speaks to time management. It's what you're not doing that will make you successful. So talk about that basic principle of building a business that you deal with agents every day, and you've made, you know, your agents are super successful. The importance of having basic skills like controlling your life in a day-to-day basis.
Sure. Well, you know, and I'm proud of our group. We have, like you mentioned, you know, fifth time in 6 years, we won number one sales volume in the world, and it helps that things are very expensive in Vancouver. But what I'm more proud about is our productivity in our group. And so when working with our agents, you know, in my previous market in Southwest Florida and here, there's something that I saw is I always kind of thought to be mega successful when I first got in the industry, you have to work your butts off, because we've all seen those agents that work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. But as I've grown in the industry and met more and more agents, I would meet these folks that have great lives, that have weekends, that have evenings, that make time for their kids. You know, I when I went for a run with Lee on Monday, one thing she mentioned is when she picks up her kids, her phone goes into airplane mode until they go to bed, right? And she's one of the top 100 teams in the United States. So how do we do that kind of thing? So part of the reason whenever I develop a presentation, what I try to do is I want it to be something that everybody can get something out of. You know, I always test it on a few friends who don't work in real estate. Because I feel like if they're in sales, it's going to be the same for them. So, you know, not having a game plan, you can get lucky for a while. And if you know a lot of people and have an okay career, but you're going to hit a point where you just hit that wall. So structuring your day, making sure you don't have, you don't run into situations where you stop prospecting, where you stop following up with past clients. You know, one of the stats I shared was in a 2008 NAR survey, and it's the last one I could find because I think they stopped asking. At that point, I believe it was 91% of all realtors said they had never contacted the buyer or seller again after the transaction, which I find appalling, right? There's so much money left on the table. So, you know, we have so many shiny distractions in this world now, and so I think it's critical that when you go into your week, you know that you're going to do all the things that are important to keep your business going. It's like anything else. It has to become a habit, and you're going to have to get to it. I don't want people to get to a point where they have no listings, where they have no sales, where they're worried about paying their desk fees. I'd rather them create their business plan the right way. And so really what I teach is a lot of a reflection of our culture here, but it's just what I've seen in this is, 16 years in real estate now. So, yeah, the feedback's been great, and, you know, I'm fortunate I'm going to give the same presentation to the RE/MAX Brazil conference in May. And I think part of the reason is because, again, it doesn't matter where on the planet you live, structuring your day, you know, and having a game plan in place and a business plan in place and time management, it is a problem for any person in any industry. So our industry is certainly not unique in those challenges.
Absolutely. Hey, Brett, before you get the phone call, I just want to correct something you said before Lee Brown calls you. She's actually one of the top 100 teams in the world.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
You're going to get a phone call, so you want to correct that.
I'm sure she's already tweeted you.
One thing I want to mention quickly too is I don't know if Dave feels this way, but you know, when I was so grateful to get to speak, but I, you know, it was 1 o'clock on the Monday, and the opening general session's at 4. There's this golf tournament going around, and honestly, I would have been happy if there was 50 people in that room. So when Dave and I afterwards we looked at that turnout and that crowd, boy, I think it was humbling to say the very least. So I think people really kind of showed up for Dave. When I was on stage, people kept going, "Boy, he has a lot more hair than he does on Mobile Agents." It tended to work out all right, and he killed it. So thanks again, and yeah, you guys were awesome.
Actually, I didn't realize how many people were there until I actually just yesterday looked through the pictures. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, holy crap, man.
You're popular.
Yeah. I'm popular. Okay, it was a lot of people there. I guess we tried to provide good content. I believe we did, and the results of people contacting us now, asking questions and asking for our information kind of bears that out, I guess. And, you know, like Michael said, we're always willing to share.
Come from a point of giving.
People only showed up for Vanessa, guys.
That is very true. Don't tell Dave. Don't tell Dave. Takeaway number 4.
Watching the Realtor.com webinar.
Takeaway number 4. We'll go to CG on this one because I think she's the one that brought up this idea. There's a lot of shiny, and this goes back to actually what Brett was saying. This is all dovetailing nicely about the shiny objects. In the marketplace, there are a ton of shiny objects, and it's hard to figure out where to go. But I think our culture has shifted now where we start to crowdsource everything, the coffee shop, the restaurant. And I saw a lot more agents talking to agents about the things that were in the marketplace going, are you using this? Why are you using it? You know, does it work? I kind of felt like there was a lot more people breaking off and speaking with other agents. Like, for example, and I'm a bachelor, I love them, BombBomb. There's a lot of people coming up to me and going, okay, BombBomb's here. I'm going to go speak to him. Why? Why should I go? And I think that is really exciting for agents to sort of lean on each other, to speak openly, to share openly, so that we don't get mesmerized by these shiny objects, these automatic posting social media things and all this sort of stuff. And I think that was big. And I know, CJ, you mentioned when you hear something enough from so many agents, there must be something there.
Yeah, and I've been to conferences myself, you know, social media, tech tools, that sort of thing, and you hear over and over again, you know, here's the top 15 apps you have to have or you'll never be successful. And I know, even not as an agent, that's terrifying when someone says, if you don't have this on your phone, you won't be successful. And it turns out to be some, you know, picture thing, and you're like, wait a minute, you know. And I think, like you said, lots of shiny. What I always encourage agents to do is, like you said, we're in a consumer world now where we ask everybody. We don't buy a battery without asking people if they've used it and if it'll last a long time. So ask your fellow agents, your networks on social, what works. But yeah, I continually to hear the same tools, the same apps being talked about, and that's where as an agent I think a flag goes up. And honestly, again, we're not promoting them, but BombBomb, I mean, that's all I heard about at this convention. And so I encouraged every agent, go by and at least listen to it and talk, because you've got a lot of fellow agents who are using BombBomb, so there must be something about it that works. So go give it a try. The other thing I tell agents to do is don't give it a try for a day or 2 days or three times on a video email. Give yourself a month to see, because we all know, I mean, I decided I was going to be a CrossFitter for 4 days. It doesn't work like that. You gotta do something for a month. So give it a try. If you really are, you know, want to try something new and you think that BombBomb or any other tool could give your business a boost, try it for a month, give it a month, and then go.
And on that note, Dave, I know that was the same thing. That was the advice that Chris Spiker had. I mean, it's a completely different thing in building a team. But if you're not willing to implement it, to have enough feedback to figure out whether it works or not, then you shouldn't start in the first place. If you're not willing to have enough data to say what are the results of it, just like Corey said, you can't give it a day and think, well, one result and it doesn't work. You really have to implement the stuff.
And you have to measure it, and like you said, and you're right, you're absolutely right. You know, my mantra with our team is always put your head down, do your work, trust that the work you're doing is going to have results, and you have to give it time. You have patience with all these systems, everything, especially lead incubation and things with BombBomb. You're absolutely right, Michael.
It's now, Brett, I think about that, about you know, crowdsourcing agents and figuring out what's working.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I talk to agents not just in our group, but and one of the nice things about the Inman affiliation is I meet agents from all different brands and all different things. And, you know, people are people, and you know, I just, you know, I talk a lot, but I listen more. You know, and every day I see what I can do to bring value to our agents, and that's something, you know, from, we always hear about agents going to these things, but I think if you're a broker owner, then, you know, it really behooves you to go, because if you can come back and tell your small, it might be a smaller office and they might not see the need to go, but if you can come back and tell your agents about things like BombBomb or, you know, or Resas, the social network, or Easy Emerge or something that's going to help them do more business, you know, that's part of that value add proposition that I think you should have. So, you know, you actually shared some great tips on how you use BombBomb in your real estate business that I've already told a few agents as well. So, you know, it goes back again, I think, to a bit of that kind of sharing thing. And so if you have a lot of successful people in one place sharing how they became successful, it's probably a good room to be into. Yeah. And keep your ears open for sure. Keep your earballs open.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I love the fact that that was recorded. Okay, Dave, you've been to a lot, and we're on to number five. You've been to a lot of these conferences, and one of the things you said to me multiple times while you were there is how different it is now that we're in a socially connected world, that there's these pre-charged relationships in these meetings, and so when you connect with these people, the surface connection, you're already past that. So what normally, how deep you could go on a four-day conference, you can go way deeper now because these relationships are pre-charged. And I've said this before. I think the 3 weeks leading up, and we'll get to this because it's takeaway number six, leading up to the conference is as important or more important to supercharge those relationships so that when you get there, there's more connections. And I know you were blown away with the amount of people that you knew that you already had context with that made your relationships and your interactions much more valuable.
Three-quarters of the people that I interacted with there, I had never really met before. And developed the relationships, like you said, right on social media through the app that we had and the conversations going on and mobile agent TV and the conversations. And what it did was it made those 4 days more valuable because I didn't have to take 2-3 days, go out drinking with them or whatever we did and sit around and talk about real estate or meet in the marketplace. We were already there. And so it made those 4 days way more valuable to me because I got to meet belly-to-belly people. Like, actually, I never had met Bruce Johnson, and I came away like, man, I'm just like, oh, so warm, and I learned so much from that man just about just life, all right, and you, and didn't get to spend a lot of time with Valerie, but I had met Valerie before. Brett, I never really met Brett before, but we sat around, and we had a drink, and I felt like I knew the guy for 10 years already, and we're talking real estate, and I'm coming away learning things that I just, you know, maybe I already knew them, but maybe I didn't, but they all get you, they sort of get cemented in your psyche, and then you come back and you try to implement these things in your business. I mean, the overall thing for me is anybody out there who's never gone, and this may be another takeaway down the line here, I don't know, who's never, but I'm on a roll, who's never been to an R4, you and you're a RE/MAX agent and you're serious about your business, there's no place to go except for anything more valuable in all aspects of your business than an R4. And I'm just really kind of surprised that there's not more than 6,000 people that go to these things. Mm-hmm. You just can't measure what you come away with. It's just phenomenal. In all aspects of life, not just real estate.
Valerie, real relationships or fake relationships?
That was the
little
snap phase.
Oh, here we go. No, the idea that we can't build real relationships online and then take it offline and cement them. Why are we? I mean, I know everyone on this panel doesn't think that way, but it is so valuable to start engaging, like engagement, not pushing out content, engaging with these people, and then cementing those relationships.
Look, Michael, creating a relationship with somebody, a real person, is the same no matter how you do it. It takes you caring about them and them caring about you. And whether you have that in little pieces over a long period of time through social media or online, or whether you have that, you know, in one really deep conversation over a drink and that's the first time you've ever talked, like, I don't really think you can say one's different than the other. You know, I believe in forming relationships however you have the opportunity, and if you really care about somebody enough to ask them questions and care about what they care about, that's a real relationship to me. And I think you can do that really well on social media if you try.
I agree, which leads us into number six takeaway was strategic conversation. I am shocked at how few business cards I gave away, mainly because we connected, connected on social. But because I went in with a strategy, like with Brett said, time management, Val, talk about the importance of taking 6,000 people, deciding how you're going to spend your time for those 4 days, not willy-nilly, and to get the most out of an R4 experience.
Well, this is something that I really learned from Inman and the Inman conferences as well. They really encourage you to not try and go into one of those conferences wanting to hang out and talk with everyone, because you'll find that if you do that, you very rarely will have meaningful conversations with very many people. But if you strategically go in and pick out a few people in advance that you want to spend time with, that you want to have a deep conversation with on a particular topic, or you want to connect with, if you make that effort and you kind of plan that out, you really will make it happen. And I think that that's a really big takeaway for me from not only my own strategy this time at R4, but everybody, when everybody says, you know, what do I need to know as my first R4? Comfortable shoes, drink lots of water, don't go big on the first night, and be strategic about who you talk to. Like, mm-hmm. that for me, that's it. Because, I mean, if you sit down and say, look, these are a few people that I've seen online, I've connected with them, I admire them, I think they have a lot to offer, they do something that I really want to be better at, or they just seem like great people and I want to become friends with them in real life, and you reach out to them ahead of time, and then you make the effort to sit and have a chat with them, that's where you're taking online, offline. That's the best way to do it. And I did that strategically with a couple of people this year, and it was just amazing that I came away from that going, that person is now so much better, you know, online, and our relationship is so much better because I made that effort. I just think you have to have a strategy. Just like you have a strategy with, you know, I'm going to go to this class at this time, book in some appointments to sit and have a chat with people.
What's go big the first night mean?
You know exactly what that means.
I think to your point about kind of the flip side of the social media is, you know, I've been to Toronto, Ontario one day of my life, but because of my friendship with Valerie, I feel like I know half of the Integra agents, right? So I had to have a plan, but it was kind of a twofold plan. There was definitely those 8 to 10 people I really wanted to get to know better. John Mangus, who I mentioned earlier, Lee, several other folks that I really wanted to spend some quality time with. But then there's another tier where, you know, if you are connected to a couple hundred people on social media, you know, you want to make sure that you have time to chat with those folks as well. So I think there's different levels. And then the one mistake I see a lot of agents make, you know, we had about 55, I think, something of our agents come down. I saw them. I was nice with them. We certainly celebrated on awards night, but for the most part, I didn't spend a bunch of time with them because I see them all the time. So I'll see agents that kind of flock of 10, and all they do is hang out with their buddies all week, and they, you know, and that's great. But if you can hang out with your buddies a week from now in your hometown, boy, you just missed out on the other 6,000 people that you won't see for another year. So, you know, I think it's you really need a strategy now because you will get pulled in so many different directions, and it sounds like all of us kind of had one in place when we went there.
Yeah, and CJ, you made a comment when we were putting together the takeaways, and you just simply said R4 is really the experience that you make it. And I totally believe that you can go in and find no value, or you can go in there and find a tremendous value, and that's all up to how you spend your 4 days.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to me. Like, I feel like I know a good, you know, group of agents, but throughout the conference, I can tell you, I saw agents, maybe one in particular I'm thinking of, I don't even really know his name, I didn't have a chance to introduce myself, But I saw him again and again and again. And that could be coincidence, perhaps, but I would see him at sessions. I would see him on social media. I'd see him in the marketplace. And it dawned on me that, you know, I keep seeing this agent. Yes, maybe it's coincidence, but I really could tell that this guy was making the most of that convention because he was everywhere. And I've been to conferences and conventions in different cities where, you know what, there's a lot of sightseeing you could do. You get tired, you want to go back to your room. And it takes a full-on investment to just dig deep, go in, and do everything that you possibly can to get the most out of that experience. And I'll tell you, on the idea of making time for people, I didn't do that. That's a great strategy, Valerie, that next year I will probably try and do. But what I do every year is anytime I meet somebody, I take that as a full-on opportunity, even if it's for 4 minutes, to find out something about them, to really be engaged in that conversation. Because this is a 1 week in your life that, you know, you may not be able to go next year. And so I just want to meet these people and find out what their story is and what they're doing and get some value out of that. So yeah, I love these agents who really go out at R4 and make the most of it. They go to sessions, they go to the social events, they do everything that they can while they're there.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Let's move on to takeaway number 7. Now I wrote down Lee Brown pricing strategy, but it's not really about that. It's about these, for me, 21 years in this business, when I go into these conferences, I'm looking for that one little nugget, that turn of phrase, the way to explain something in the most simplicity that makes my business better. One question that I learned from Sean Moore about, you know, in a listing presentation, as a team has added to our listing presentation, has fundamentally changed the way that we can set up for success on our listings. Lee Brown's idea of getting your clients to tell you honestly where their house ranks between 6 and 10, and then having them describe what the faults of their home are to you, opposed to you telling them what the faults of their home are, is so fundamentally impactful for me. And I believe, well, I did record the audio of it. I have sent it out to Lee, and I hope that she does release it to people, because the takeaway is so great. But what I mean is, we've been talking about these big ideas, you know, time blocking and all this sort of stuff. You will learn, especially in the agent-led sessions, one little nugget that you will implement into your business that will fundamentally change your business. And you really have to look for those people that are doing it successfully. And maybe it resonated with me because the way I build my business, but the turn of phrase that Lee put out there was so impactful for me, and that's what I want. The $3,000 to go R4 has already paid for itself. We've taken numerous listings since I came back. I've had that conversation with each one of them, and it just sits so well with our clients. Our clients are happier. I'm more clear. The conversation, Dave, we talked this out, the expectations are a lot clearer with my clients because of the conversation, which leads to a happier client at the end. It's these little tiny nuggets sometimes, these little fine-tuning of the engine that can make you a great agent. And Dave, so you've seen these little fine tunes over the time where you implement just a turn of phrase, you know, and that's why scripts are so important. It's just the turn of phrase. It's the right words in the right order that provide value sometimes.
It comes to my mind. I mean, I can just tell you, I mean, I won't go into any of them at all, but at every conference, you're absolutely right. I come back with one little thing that, you know, I still do today, and something that I saw somebody on stage say 10 years ago. I remember some guy, I don't even know who he was. He, Vanessa can maybe tell me, where you handshake, you give somebody a handshake, and you take your other hand and you put it on their elbow. You give a handshake like that. I mean, just a simple little thing I learned at R4 that I do every day, and you can tell the difference between how you connect with people. So you're absolutely right. If you go there open, you're like open. I'm open to just get whatever this conference can give me. You will come away. You won't come away with one. You'll come away with so much that you come home and you're like, oh, man, what do I do next? I heard so much stuff. And you just try one of them. Put one of them in play every year, and you're going to make more money. You're going to make a lot more money. You're going to be able to bring more value to a lot more people.
Yeah, totally agree. We have to move along. Number 8, this is for Val. And I think all of us feel this way. And it's the reason why we're on the show, Dave. It's the reason why Corey does what she does. It's the reason why Brett does what he does. And it was a quote from Peyton Manning at the conference. As soon as you stop wanting to be coached, taught, or mentored, you're in trouble. They'll talk about why that quote's so impactful for you.
Well, Yeah, that resonated with me. I mean, obviously because I teach for a living, but it resonated with me because I think that we all sometimes forget that, you know, we should never stop learning. We should never stop being willing to learn from other people, no matter what walk of life they're in or where they're at in life. I think the minute we stop saying, I don't need to learn anything, or I don't need somebody to help me out or give me accountability, I don't need somebody to teach me that we are in trouble. And I think this industry, unfortunately, is filled with a lot of people who feel that they're at that point. They're at the point where they don't need to be coached or taught or mentored because they've been in this business for 8 million years and this is how they've always done it and nothing's really going to change that and bah humbug. But, you know, I think it's important that we realize you maybe don't feel like you have something to learn in that degree. That means it's your turn to teach, right? And if you ever think that you're at a point where you don't need to learn something, you need to start teaching people what you know, because it's a cycle. And this industry is only going to improve and continue to grow if we continue that cycle. So if you stop learning something, you better be teaching somebody something, or you better find something new to learn. And I really thought Peyton nailed that.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that Peyton really nailed was the fact that the game is different now than when he was a rookie quarterback. It's not like he learned the defense and it changed. The defense is always evolving, the way they cover, so you've got to continue to adapt. And I thought that dovetailed really well into the real estate industry. It's not like here's my 4 sets of skills and I've got them nailed out and they're not going to change. And the amount of times that I saw top agents that I respect a ton sitting the first 2 rows of sessions. You know, they were all there with their notepads, and these are the best of the best. You could see the medallions around their neck, and they're there because they understand the Peyton Manning and future Hall of Famer, that the game constantly evolves, and they got to stay razor sharp, and their ego doesn't let them say, I don't need to improve. And I think that's a huge takeaway. Brett, talk about that and your coaching. You're the number one. You've got great agents, and they're constantly learning.
Absolutely. You know, and there's a phrase my dad told me before I moved up here, because I was saying, you know, what am I going to do? They're already number one before I even joined them. He said, you know, I meet a lot of people in my industry that say they have 20 years of experience, but it's 2 years of experience that they repeated 10 times. To your point, there are people in the industry that have been doing it 15 years, but they probably aren't even checking emails on their phone, right? So there's always the potential to get better. To use, you know, I love my Star Wars phrases. You know, there's always a bigger fish. Right, I don't care who you are, what you do. There's always probably somebody out there that does it better and more successfully. So you just listen and you learn and you never stop learning. To me, that's what life's all about, right? It's about relationships, you know, and never and always trying to be slightly better and trying to help. So you know, in our group, I see, you know, obviously our new agents, they kind of have to go through the training, but I'll often have, you know, some of our very highest, you know, Chairman's Club, Diamond Club level agents who are still at training sessions because they might pick up those one or two new concepts that they aren't using, you know, because they're constantly prospecting, they're constantly meeting with people. You know, you never know when you're going to hear that turn of phrase, as you said. You know, the ice cream sundae analogy that you and I spoke about for listings, I share that with agents, and I've had a couple come back already and say, "Oh yeah, that works great. What a great idea!" So,
and you know, and that's the one I'm talking about. That's the one that Sean Moore. That's the one I got from Sean Moore. A simple little turn of phrase about ice cream changes the impact. And that was me learning. That's me eager to learn. And do we have a great listing presentation? Absolutely. Is it better today? Absolutely. Like, you can never stop making it better. And I think it's really, really important. And then dovetails into takeaway number 9, which is a simple 4 words that at first, when they were said by Darren Hardy, I went, what? And then he explained it, and I go, I get it. And that is simply learn less, study more. And Val, you're nodding your head, and I know I was sitting next to you when we heard that, and that definitely impacts you as a trainer. Learn less, study more. What did Darren Hardy mean by those 4 words?
He said, stop learning so many things at the same time and start really studying something and getting good at it. And, you know, I think that goes along with what I'm famous for saying, is you don't have to be everywhere. You have to be somewhere really well. And you're right, we were sitting there, and when he said, learn less, study more, we were like, huh? And then we thought about it, and we realized, you're right. Like, you don't need to know everything about everything. Start really studying something and get really good at it. And it was brilliant. It was definitely a huge takeaway for me.
And Dave, you say it, wide versus deep, or deep versus wide, right? We should be going deep, getting razor sharp at a number of skews. I say play to your strengths. They're all the same sort of thing. But, you know, just learning for the sake of learning without implementing and becoming world class at it. The amount of people that I heard at RE/MAX R4 who only market these four blocks and they're world class at it, or they only focus on online leads and they become world class at it, or they're only repeat referral and become world class at it. You know, there's a lot of these people that are really great at one or two specific things and are wildly successful about that. So CJ, I don't know, were you in the final session with Darren? That sit with you, and obviously you trying to educate and build the social platform for RE/MAX LLC about study, you know, learn less, study more?
Yeah, for our agents, it's a tough one for me because they do. Whenever the idea of social media or new age marketing or digital marketing comes up, it feels so overwhelming to some of them. And again, they're told by speakers all the time that they need to be in 14 different places. And I always say, like, that if you're a writer and you've always loved to write and you journal before you go bed, you know, turn that writing into a blog, and that's your focus, and do that. I honestly, for me personally, when I got into that and I heard that from Darren Hardy, I just took it to a whole nother life level, because if we did everything everybody told us to do, if we flossed as much as they told us to do, if we stretched every night before bed, like if we did everything that everybody told us we're supposed to do, there's not enough hours in the day. And so I really took it to a personal level where I thought, what do I really want to be good at? I want to be a good mom. I want to be a good employee. I want to be a good friend. Like, how am I going to do that? And for our agents, I just really encourage them to do that in their business. Like, what do I really want to be good? What matters to me? Is it the buyers and sellers that I have right now, and I just really want to focus on them and serving them and their friends? Or do I want to blow this up, you know? Do I want to do a different community? What do I want to do? And just do it as well as you can. It's so trite, but it's so true when you sit and think about it.
Well, I took something
CrossFit didn't make the list.
I took something away totally different, actually. And for me, what I took away was it's action. Right? It's one thing to sit there, and, you know, I think a lot of people go to conferences and they feel good because they sat through all these classes, but then they come back and don't do anything different. And I don't think that makes you a better agent any more than going to church every Sunday and then ignoring everything you hear in that building makes you a good Christian, right? So, you know, it's one thing to learn and hear all these ideas, but if you're not going to put them into action and put them into play, you know, what did you really accomplish? So that's really what I took out of that quote, which is, you know, you can aim all you want, but eventually you need to pull the trigger and do something. So.
Yeah, it does come back to implementation, absolutely, and come back to the hashtag one at a time is just one thing. Implement, go, get better at it. Don't take too much. Say, here's the three things I'm going to go at it and get better, and I think there's a ton of value there too as well. Number 10 is one of my personal beefs, and I always tell people this, like, maybe not in this way that that Darren Hardy phrased it, but and he phrased it really good, and this is society. This is human nature to act this way. But when you stop being like most people won't like you. We do have a go with the crowd sort of mentality. I find when I'm going in the opposite direction, I'm probably onto something. The amount of people that gave me slack when we first started doing video in our neighborhood that said, "Why are you wasting your time?" I don't know if they thought I was wasting my time, or they thought they realized that was something they should be doing, and they sort of hold you back. But I don't mean to end on number 10 as a negative, because I think it's a positive. It's always been done this way, romantic about the past. Everyone else in my office does it this way. That's a very scary mentality as far as the ability to be creative and think outside the box and to become unique, because your value proposition isn't the dad anymore. It's your unique value proposition. You have to find that. And the only way to find something that's unique by the term is to do something different, and you will get backlash on it. Valerie, let's go with you, because you must talk about this and think outside the box. And you wanted to talk about this particular point. The fact that the fear of what other agents think about you, why I don't know why we care, will keep you from doing something that you in your gut think has value.
Well, and that wasn't the entire quote from that day. Darren Hardy said, when you stop being like most people won't like you. Consider your funeral. The people who are crying at your funeral, those are the people you should care about when you're alive. If you don't think they're going to be at your funeral crying, why do you give a crap what they think when you're alive? And that was a bit direct. And but for me, I mean, that was, we are in this industry, we are so driven by fear. Fear that we're not going to get that deal, fear that we're not going to get that referral, fear that people aren't going to like us, fear of all kinds of things. And ultimately, to give yourself the freedom to say, this is who I am, this is what I'm good at, and I feel good about it, and if other people don't like me because of it, that's okay, because those aren't my target, that's not my target audience. And, you know, I mean, that's the thing, like, I don't remember, Seth Godin says, everyone is not your customer. So stop worrying about what everybody thinks and focus on what you really believe, and I think that's a winning strategy all day long.
Yeah, and it does. It comes back to being, I mean, okay, let's talk about it. We talked about it before. Lee Brown. I mean, here's a perfect example. She resonates with certain people and alienates others, but the people that she resonates with, it's very, very positive. But if she had muted herself, and not muted herself quiet, like muted herself, become sort of ordinary, mm-hmm. she might not resonate with anybody at fear of alienating. And Lee will tell you, she doesn't care about alienating you. She cares about the people that she connects with. Dave, you're that way. If someone doesn't resonate with you, you will walk away from the listing table and go, this isn't going to work, you know, and you know, send them off as free agents back into the marketplace. So Dave, talk about the value of not listening to the negativity. I know there's a couple of times where you've actually turned off Facebook groups because everyone's going to tell you why you shouldn't be doing something. You should surround yourself by five people that are going to encourage you and sort of move on. Talk about that mentality.
You know what? You do have to have a mentality of kind of going against the grain, especially now today, because there's so much change going on. There's more change happened in our business the last 5-10 years than happened in the previous 100. All right. And so right now, somebody is out there. Somebody in the real estate business has kind of got some against the grain thing going in his mind. And in the end, it's going to be the new model for our business. Our business is changing, and it's not going to be the same today. I mean, we all kind of like, oh, we're going to get – there could be fee-for-services. I mean, there's all kinds of different things going on, and something new is coming. And you best not worry about that if you want to grow your business and have an open mind so that whatever does come along down the road, you can be part of it. One of the things that I guess Lee Brown connected with Darren Hardy a little bit, is she said when she dies – she wants half the people in the audience in the church to like her, and the other, you know, that they're sad she's gone, and the other half are glad to see her go. But she said she wants the church to be full. I guess maybe she got that from him. But again, you know, I think that that's just to kind of go along with the crowd. I just can't see where you're going to go forward in life.
Well, what are you afraid of, too? You know, I said the reason I got hooked up with him, and I wrote a piece about Zillow, you know, can't we just put all the listings back? And what I put in there is, you know, if you think you can be replaced by a website, you probably should be. And there was a Zillow thread this morning, and our friend Mr. Spiker came and said something kind of to that same effect. Say, hey, you know, worry about your business more than worrying about, oh, I wish it was this way, or, oh, I wish we could do it. Well, it's not, right? So, you know, I agree with Dave. You know, when those next great ideas come, you know, whether she says it, he says it, they say it, doesn't matter. It's, you know, you need to be open to that, because the one constant is it's a people business, but the second constant is there's always change to it. So, you know, you grow or die, right?
And to wrap this last point up into a bow, CJ, is this is one of the big benefits of going to a RE/MAX R4, is to realize that you're unique out-of-the-box thinking and mentality, although unique in your own small marketplace, when you surround yourself by great agents around the world, it gives you comfort in knowing that there's value in stepping outside the box, about being around the best in the world, about pushing forward. I think when I go there, I surround myself with all these amazing agents that I think, oh, there's more like me, and then I come back home, and you forget that you're doing things differently. There's so much value and being there around other people that are doing really great work.
Yeah, I'm a little like Dave, and I'm biased on this matter because I don't see why more people don't go. I mean, I'm the most frugal person I know. I'm the one that stands in line and puts things back before I get to the checkout because I shouldn't spend money on it. But this is just one. Stop, Dave. This is just one that I don't get why you don't. why you don't come to these. Because, I mean, if it's not for the social aspect, if it's not for getting away from your kids for a week, if it's not for any of that, I mean, look at all the stuff that you can get. And it's just, if you need tangibles and you need to hear, you know, how much you'll make, how much more you'll make by going to these, we've got probably 5,954 agents, 5,954 agents who can tell you they're going to make more money this year because they went to R4. So if you need that, we'll give that to you. But there's just so many things that you can get from R4 that you just can't get anywhere else. So again, I'm biased, but it's my favorite event of the year.
I think everyone would agree with you. And it's not like you can't time block, right, Brett? We already know it's the last week of February at the MGM Grand in 2016.
29. You can't even use it to an anniversary or a kid's birthday as an excuse, right?
There you go.
Many people have that on the 29th, so.
Yeah. And Brett, I know that you are really, really eager to share one more great takeaway. Takeaway number 11, the maintenance of the 5 o'clock shadow. You got some great tips from Travis Robertson. Do you want to quickly tell us
anybody who saw me at R4, I used to have a much more Jedi-ish beard, but when you sleep 10 hours in 5 days, you come back exhausted. So I had an unfortunate beard trimming accident, went down way too low. So thankfully, Travis Robertson came to the rescue and gave me a quite detailed explanation as how he maintains his perfect scruff. So I have to thank Travis for that. And, you know, and Tom Ferry and I had a beard off there, which I won convincingly in Vegas. And, you know, we're back to an even playing field. So if you need beard maintenance tips, in addition to helping to grow your team or know about millennials, Travis is your guy. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you can get him on Twitter at TravisRO, and I'm sure he'll put together some sort of a white paper maybe or a video.
I certainly think so. That's really a good takeaway, right? That's a good takeaway.
It's fabulous. All right, there you go. 10 takeaways from RE/MAX R4. Thank you to all of you, to everyone, all the great RE/MAX agents, to a person, our incredible people that make the event so awesome. I love these takeaways. I love this group of people. It's fantastic. Valerie Garcia, if people want to get a hold of you, how do they find you? How do they get involved with hashtag one at a time? Go ahead and give that one plug.
You can tweet me at Valerie Garcia 1, or you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/val.remax, or if you just search Valerie Garcia Remax, but add the Remax. It's really important when you're searching Valerie Garcia that there's a Filipino porn star with the same name.
We can't stress that enough. Please put Remax. Please put Remax after.
You can't use 3X's either, because that's not good.
So, how do people get a hold of you on social?
CJ.
Who?
What was that? CJ, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, let me give you my home phone number. No. How about try at CJ Vasquez? Be fantastic.
On Twitter at CJ Vasquez. Awesome. Jedi, how do people get a hold of you on social?
Well, I'm Remax Jedi on Twitter, remaxjedi.com, or on Facebook, it's facebook.com/itsbrett, ITSBRET. Or if you just say something about Star Wars online, chances are I'll show up in it.
Love it. Next week's show, we're going to be talking about geographical farming with a 2015 twist. There's no doubt that farming is super valuable, but we're going to talk to a couple agents that are doing it with a 2015 twist. I think it's going to be super valuable. It's going to be a great episode. So join us. That is next week, which is March the 27th, 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern, here at mobileagenttv.com. Go ahead, Brett.
One more quick plug. If you ever need a roommate for a convention, Michael Thorne is fantastic, but you got to watch out what he does with his giant life-size advertisements for his speeches. I'm still having nightmares.
If you have any referrals heading out to the East Coast of the United States, get a hold of Dave. He'll put you in the hands of the right RE/MAX agents. Any referrals coming out to the West Coast of Canada, get a hold of me. I'll put you in the hands of the right RE/MAX agent. And as Melanie Galley of RE/MAX Fort McMurray wants us to end every show, please tell 5 other RE/MAX agents about Mobile Agent TV. We grow every week. It affords us the opportunity to have RE/MAX support us and put us out there at the marketplace to do a live show. It's awesome. Thank you, everyone, for being so supportive. Thank you, Brett. I'm going to go left to right on my screen. I don't have the same for you. Thank you, Brett. You're awesome. CJ, thank you so much for everything you do for all of us at Denver. You your role and your impact on us agents is so important. Thank you so much. Val, thank you so much. You've been a great friend of the show. You're awesome. Thanks for coming on the show again. And Dave, thank you for my In-N-Out Burger t-shirt. I appreciate it very, very much.
Turn around. You are the back.
Oh, yeah.
Here. Show him the back.
There.
You
see it? Oh, yeah,
look at that.
Yeah. Awesome. It's awesome. My favorite moment at R4 when you brought me the In-N-Out, man.
Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you, great panelists. We'll see everyone next week.